You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by an old friend, DeRoy Murdoch. You see him at Fox. You read him at the National Review Online. You can catch up with his columns at the New York Post and Washington Times and elsewhere. He is a very important contributor to the public policy debate. It is always good to have him with us. DeRoy, thanks so much for joining me.
Frank, good to talk to you.
I wanted to get your sense of the environment we find developing at the moment, DeRoy. Within the black community, within the police black community sort of context, and more broadly in the country, it seems as though things are accelerating in a very dangerous direction. And I wonder if you see it the same way.
I think the best way to answer your question is to say to you something I've said to a lot of friends of mine who are recent college graduates, maybe in their just starting their careers, early 20s, mid-20s, and that is I feel really, really sorry for them because they're too young to remember what it was like to live in America when this was a prosperous, optimistic country, when people got along racially. Of course, there were racists and bigots here and there, but people at least seemed to be trying to get along. And things were on the up and up and generally positive. Now you look around and the economy's stagnant. We seem to be at each other's throats. We've got microaggressions on campus. We've got cops being gunned down. Black Lives Matter is at war with everyone else. Everyone's at war with Black Lives Matter. It just seems like we're just absolutely coming to pieces. And that says nothing about the foreign policy challenges and the incredible risk we face from radical Islamic terrorism. I'm 52 years old. This is the worst I've seen in terms of racial relations. And just before we got on air here, you and I were joking about the good old days of Jimmy Carter. That's how bad things have become.
It is indeed. I want to come back to the jihad in a moment, but just stay with me on this one question. DeRoy, you are a prominent figure, African-American, of course, but also
a Black American is what I am.
A Black American.
I've been
thank
to Africa
you.
And then come back here to America where I live.
Thank you. But let me just ask you, you are a patriot. When you hear comments like those that Newt Gingrich made the other day, indicating that really many white people in this country simply have no appreciation for what it is like to be black. Did that resonate with you? Did you think that accurate? Did you think it contributed to our understanding of the kind of environment that you've just described?
Well, if the idea is no appreciation in that most black folks don't live in the ghetto, I guess there's some truth to that. But if the implication is that they're so alien to it that there's some hostility, I think that overstates it. You know, there's a difference between lack of familiarity and then lack of any sense of empathy. I mean, I think all of us Americans are humans, if nothing else. And even if you're living in Malibu or the upper east side of Manhattan or Martha's Vineyard, whatever it might be, when you see black people in Chicago getting killed and having their sons and daughters killed and so forth, I think it doesn't matter whether you have black friends or not. You look at that and think, well, this is an egregious situation and it doesn't belong in this country and needs to be stopped. So I think any white American with basic empathy would have some sense of that towards black people, even if these people don't live in black neighborhoods.
You know, it is also worth noting that the vast majority of those people in Chicago are being killed by other blacks. It's there are incidents of police violence, but that seems to be largely ignored.
You're not allowed to discuss that. So let's stop that right now.
Okay. Well, let's move right along. I did want to talk to you about the jihad. You had a very important piece recently about my friend Phil Haney and his new book, See Something, Say Nothing. And it seemed so apt, particularly as you wrote it in the aftermath of Orlando. Do we have a problem of not being allowed to talk about that as well? And are these kinds of, acts of willful blindness, my friend Andy McCarthy calls them, putting us in real peril, do you think, DeRoy Murdoch?
To use a classical allusion, I think it's not just willful blindness. I think it's more like the end of Oedipus Rex, where he physically yanks his eyes out. I am reading Haney's book. I'm about 40% of the way through it, and I've got my highlighter out in it, and the book is almost all yellow because I can't believe the stuff that's in it. This gentleman, Phil Haney, used to be at the Department of DHS, And he very meticulously put together these files of people associated with Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood and so on, 800 files, I believe. And when the Obama administration came in, they told him not to put those files somewhere safe, put them in a vault so they're not abused. They told him to erase them, erase those files. I mean, these are the same people who, with Hillary Clinton having her files all over the place and her emails, you know, who knows where they are, literally told Phil Haney to disconnect the dots. And now it turns out some of those dots he disconnected may have been tied to the San Bernardino massacre that killed, I think it was 14 Americans. This goes beyond just wanting to be fair and not accuse innocent, law-abiding Muslims of something, things they may not have done, to disconnecting the dots and disabling our ability to find and neutralize people who are busy trying to kill us. That's how dangerous this is. This is truly frightful. I think it's rather treasonous, actually.
Yeah, you know, DeRoy, that unfortunately Phil's experience is not an isolated incident. It's really emblematic of what has been happening to what I call the first lines of defense. In fact, one of our other colleagues, Claire Lopez, and I have written a book recently called See No Sharia. And really, it talks, as does Phil, about how countering violent extremism and failing to recognize the nature of the enemy, its ideology, Sharia supremacism is one way to put it, is putting us in mortal peril.
I certainly knew that Obama and company don't like to use the term radical Islamic terrorism. As I'm reading Haney's book, I'm truly, as somebody who's followed this and is rather jaded and cynical about this, I am stunned at the level to which they go well beyond just using politically correct slogans to erasing evidence of terrorist ties which we can use to keep an eye on people, or if, God forbid, there's an attack, we can say, all right, this guy knew that person, he went to that mosque, he knows this person with this organization, let's talk to them and see if they knew anything about this, let's see if they have guns and ammo and bombs ready to kill more people. And we literally have erased 800 dots that could connect, be connected to show either future plots or at least to explain how maybe this guy in Dallas who just killed these five cops and injured other people, maybe he's connected to some of those dots. We won't know about that because DHS ordered Phil Haney to erase those dots. It's truly, truly outrageous and dangerous.
Well, again, as an example of what has been done more broadly, I fear it is dangerous. DeRoy, you've written recently about FBI Director Jim Comey's testimony before the House Government Operations and Reform Committee last week after his extraordinary, if not actually appalling, statement, seemingly letting Hillary Clinton off the hook. I couldn't believe it, and I'd missed it until you pointed it out, the circumstances under which he conducted or his people conducted their interview of Hillary Clinton. Talk a bit about that, if you would, and the larger state of play at the moment.
Yeah, I watched Comey's statement last week, and I love the first 12 minutes of it, where it looked like, oh my God, Hillary Clinton's going to be arrested, and then at the end he said, well, never mind. Now, if he had said, look, we looked into this, we looked at the emails, she's telling the truth, there was nothing funny there, she turned over everything, we didn't find any classified emails, it's all in the up and up, therefore I don't recommend any charges, that would make sense. But he laid out what looked like a total indictment. I counted 8 instances where he said she lied and, in fact, had a total of 2,113 classified emails among her multiple servers, not one server, but multiple servers and devices. And then at the end, he said it didn't matter. And then it turns out we learned on Thursday during his testimony before the House Government Oversight Committee that the 3.5-hour interrogation done by FBI agents was not done under oath. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? If you and I came in and testified before the FBI regarding, you know, somebody using too much water in his lawn, they sure as hell would have us put our hands on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And yet with Hillary Clinton, who has, I think, a well-documented decades-long allergy to the truth, she's allowed to provide this evidence, but not under oath. I thought that was staggering.
Not under oath, but then you pointed out not on a recorded device either, which just blows your mind even further.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
There's so much more to talk about, DeRoy. I know you've got to get off to Fox. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Let's reconvene soon. Next up, we'll talk with Representative Brad Wenstrup of Ohio. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.